Amen. Well, church, God has a word for us today. Amen. Whenever we open the Bible, God has a word for us, but I love it when He uses speakers to lift the word out and then to apply it and speak it. So, Brother Moses, come and give us what the Lord has given to you. We know it's going to be a blessing. Amen. Thank you very much, Pastor Pat. Good afternoon, church. Glad we all survived the storm. Amen. We give God the glory. I'm sure some of us had power outages and things like that, but those are things that many people live with every day. I grew up without electricity in my father's home for all the time I was there until I left school. I went to school, left school, started work. It's only recently that my brothers and I worked together to put some electricity in my mother's house. So, there are things that sometimes people fuss about, and then sometimes you realize, you know what? There are many people that are living like that. Now, should we contend ourselves? No, we don't have to contend ourselves. But in the day of disaster, that was a good one. Amen? Consider. In the day of disaster, consider. And that day comes. The Bible talks of the evil day, that you may stand in the evil day. So there will be the evil day. I'm not prophesying an evil day, but that day comes. So we thank God. Hallelujah. And good to see each one of you. Today is great. This morning I woke up, and as we were praying with my wife, the Lord inspired my heart, and He said, there is dancing in the house of the Lord today. And so we sang a little song we used to sing back home. There is dancing today in the house of the Lord. There is dancing today in the house of the Lord. There is dancing today in the house of the Lord. We are dancing today in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah! And so when I came here, I was in the dancing spirit in the house of the Lord. You need to encourage your spirit and encourage your soul. And if you don't encourage yourself in the Lord, the circumstances in which we are now, the situation in which we are now, talk to anybody, and the devil is at work discouraging people. So you need to encourage yourself. Hallelujah. And when you encourage yourself, you will come here, you will encourage others. If you come and you don't encourage yourself, then you'll discourage me. So encourage yourself, and then I will encourage you, and then you'll encourage me, and we encourage each other. And in the presence of the Lord, we shall worship. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So I was thinking this when I was preparing this, and the Lord woke me pretty early to, reflect and think about Joseph. And we are continuing with the study on Joseph. For those who write down titles, it is In Their Footsteps, Joseph part 3. And Joseph part 3, we finished last time with Joseph in prison. Young man with a dream. Okay? A young man with a dream, dreaming of a time when he will be a boss and his brothers are bowing down before him. And it's not only his brothers, but his mother and father are bowing before him. That is the dream. That is the vision. That was his, I don't think it was Israel then. I think it was called Canaan or something. That was his Canaanite dream. It wasn't his American dream. It was his Canaanite dream. But that was his dream. But the next thing he finds himself in, he's in jail. He's in prison. And not just prison, but prison for a treasonable case or offense that could have very easily led to his death. How do I know it could have led to his death? Because he was imprisoned by two other men, one of whom later was executed. And he was executed, we are not told what he must have done wrong. Well, he was a baker making bread for the king. So we don't know whether he stole a piece of bread. We don't know whether he threatened to put poison in the king's bread. We don't know. But we know he used to make bread for the king and he was imprisoned. And the end was that he was killed. So Joseph, accused of trying to rape the wife of an Egyptian military captain or high-ranking military official, he must have been a general of the time, that could have led to his death. So that's where we finish. So that's where the young man's life is. Now the dream is shattered, right? At that stage, you don't have any more dream. Your life is shattered. You're gone. You don't even expect anything. So that's what we see. Joseph in prison, in a foreign land, on a false accusation, after betrayal by his brothers. This is the track record. This is the testimony that is following him. Betrayed by his own brothers. Now betrayed by his master whom he loved and respected. Or by, you know, the mistress that he loved and respected. And he respected her, that's why he didn't do what she asked him to do. But then she betrayed that respect. But then we join the story now. Joseph is in prison. And in prison, two other men are brought. One is a maker of wine for the king, or a cupbearer. The other is a baker. He makes bread for the king. They are imprisoned in what would be the strongest prison here in Guantanamo? I think he was in Guantanamo. It must have been the equivalent of something like that. I mean, it was something very strong where they cannot escape very easily. Right there, the two men dreamt dreams. The one dreamt that there were three branches. And on the three branches, he picked the fruit. And he squeezed the fruit in a cup that he was holding. And then he gave the cup to the king or to Pharaoh. And the king drank. And then the other man dreamt that there were three baskets on his head. They are all full of bread or whatever it was. And the birds of the air came and picked from the baskets. And the men woke up in the morning and they talked to each other about their dreams. They were very perplexed. They were confused. And because they were confused, they didn't know what to do. And they were downcast in their spirit. Joseph was their de facto boss because he was in charge. The prison manager had put Joseph in charge of the prison. So Joseph comes to these men and he finds them with a low countenance. I don't know whether we look at our family members when we wake up in the morning and realize that husband is not as happy this morning, or my wife is not happy, or my child doesn't have a good countenance. Anyway, Joseph noticed that these men were not doing well. So he asked them, he said, "What is wrong?" And they said, "We had dreams. And we are confused about the dreams. And there is nobody to interpret these dreams for us." And Joseph says, tell me the dreams. God is the one who interprets the dreams. And he will interpret for you. And they tell Joseph their dreams. And Joseph interprets the dreams to them. Now I'm trying to summarize the whole chapter here. And Joseph interprets the dreams. And he says to the man who was holding the glass and squeezing juice, and he says, three branches are 3 days. And after 3 days, you're going to be set free and you'll be reinstated to your job and you'll be reinstated there and you'll give the king the cup again. Oh! The man was gladdened in his heart. And so the other gentleman also says, "Oh, I also had a dream. 3 days, 3 baskets, and the birds were coming and eating. Oh, and Joseph says, I'm sorry for you, brother. After 3 days, they are going to come and kill you, and the birds of the air will eat your flesh. And 3 days later, there comes somebody. He says, you're set free. And as for you, you're going to be killed. And that was a day when the king or Pharaoh had thrown a party for his people. And these were, rewards he's now giving. He's recognizing and approving one and killing the other. Pretty much like the story of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? The one thief saying to the Lord, remember me. And the other thief saying, can't you save yourself and save both of us? And that is the story that we want to look at today. That's the portion of this that we want to concentrate on. It moves on a little bit. Let me just move it one step further. The dreams don't stop with the servants of the king. The king himself also dreams. And the king dreams, and he dreams. Any one of us would have been scared by that kind of dream. You are standing by the river, the Potomac River here. I can promise you the Nile is like twice as wide as the Potomac. And 10 times longer. The Nile is a huge, huge river. And the Potomac, you're standing at the river, and some wonderful cows appear. Oh! And you begin to love looking at these beautiful cows, right? And then when you're still enjoying the sight of the beautiful cows, some gaunty, ugly, looking cows. I have seen a movie in which they had those cows. They had a mouth bigger than a hippopotamus, And if you've seen a hippopotamus and then you have a hippopotamus head and a hippopotamus mouth, but with the body of a goat, I mean, that is a very scary thing. So, and these cows appear and they begin to eat the other cows. Now, if you know a little bit of biology, you know that cows are not carnivores. They are herbivorous. They eat grass. Now, not only are they carnivoring, they're actually cannibalizing. They're eating their kind. Now, that is very scary. If you see a cow eating a cow, you got a problem. In your dream, you will be sweating. I don't know whether any of you has dreamt and woken up sweating. I sometimes would dream, and I mean, you wake up and you're like, where was I? How did I even get there? And the king wakes up, and then he goes back to bed. And he goes back to bed, and he sleeps again. He dreams again. Now, this dream is even more confusing, because he sees corn. Now, maize, right? Corn. Here it's called corn. In my country where I grew up, we used to call it maize. And he sees corn, and the ears, corn grows, and it has 7 ears of corn, and he looks so beautiful. Oh, and the king is enjoying it. And then another set of corn comes up, and it has mean-looking ears of corn. Very mean, very lousy, very ugly. You don't want to look at it. Now, that's not scary enough. I don't know whether the ears elongated themselves or whether they jumped. I don't know how the bad ears of corn reached the good ears of corn, but somehow these ears of corn began eating these ears of corn. They swallowed them up. Now, that leads me saying, if I'm part of that dream, I will equally be scared. So the king was very scared. And so he calls people, his magicians, and the Middle East, Asia, Africa going down. plenty of magicians, plenty of witchcraft stuff, plenty of people playing all sorts of trickery and causing things to happen. And Egypt was full of such people. You remember Janis and Jambres when they came to contend with Moses, and Moses threw down the snake, his rod, and it became a snake, and they also threw down their rods, and they also became snakes, and they basically said to Moses, we can all do that. And so that's what happened. The king calls for these people, and he says, I need an interpretation of the dreams. And they are completely baffled. They are startled. And very soon we shall discover why they were startled. The scripture that we just read, no one understands the things in the heart of a man except the spirit of the man. These were not ordinary dreams. These are dreams that have been appointed by a man. And that man is called God. And God has appointed them. And these dreams, he has planted them in the head of Pharaoh. And so only God and God's spirit can interpret them. The magicians did not have the spirit of God. They could not interpret the dreams. It had to be someone with the spirit of God. Eventually, they found that man who could interpret, who had the spirit of God in him. And that man was Joseph. And Joseph interpreted that dream. That's where we now pick up the story. And I know we have all read the story, but I thought I would just refresh our memories and our minds about this story. It covers two chapters, the chapters 40 and 41 in the book of Genesis. But we are not going to read two chapters 40 and 41 at this stage. For those who haven't read the story in a long while, and I'm saying in a long while because I know none of us haven't read it in a long while, right? So, at least everybody is covered in a long while. You can go back and refresh your mind about that story. But I want to pick up some 7-8 lessons that I thought I picked from this story as I read it. And I feel, the Lord wants us to share those lessons. Lesson number one. If it is from God, it will stand. If it is from God, it will stand. Nobody will stop it. The devil thought he had stopped Joseph. The devil thought he had destroyed Joseph's dream. And Joseph, his brothers knew, was no more. They thought, we've dealt a blow to this dreamer. He's gone. But the dreams Joseph had were not from Joseph. The dreams Joseph had were from God. And because they were from God, man cannot stop what God has ordained. Man will not stop what God has ordained. They will try. They will fight. They will not stop what God has ordained. Read for us the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5, verses 38 through 39. Let's read that portion together. Acts chapter 5, verses 38 through 39.
And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God.
This was a situation where the disciples were being persecuted for speaking in the name of Jesus Christ. They had just worked, caused the healing of a man, and they were taken into prison, and they are being punished. And when the council or the Sanhedrin sat, one elder, one Pharisee called Gamaliel, a very renowned man, an educated man, says to his friends, He says, colleagues, let these men alone. If this that they have done is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, it will stand. Friends, I want to encourage us. I don't know what it is. The Lord has been speaking to you, encouraging you to do. Whatever it is, if it is of God, it will stand. If it is not of God, it will fail. That's my first lesson. My second lesson. Pay attention to other people's needs. It might be the way to your solution. Pay attention to other people's needs. It might be the way to your own solution.
Good.
Joseph could have ignored these two men. He had no business asking them why they had a bad countenance in the morning. He could have left them, the Egyptians, his Hebrew. He's young, they're old men. And if you're old and you're, you know, young people are talking to you, you know how they can make you feel, right? Joseph paid attention to these people's needs. And that way, he got to his own solution. Somebody has said, people will not care how much you know until they know how much you care. It is the caring that fixes it all. That is in Genesis chapter 40, verse 6. Because Joseph cared to ask this man, why are you looking so sad? My third lesson. Joseph kept his faith and knowledge in God, irrespective of the circumstances around him. Genesis 40, verse 8. Let's read that one.
And they said to him, we each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. So Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please.
Do not interpretations belong to God? Joseph was aware that there was God. He had seen a God in his house. He had grown up with his father, and he had known there is a God. He must have listened to the stories his father told him, how his father ran away from his brother, how he, you know, dreamt and saw this ladder of angels going, climbing and coming down. He must have listened to all these stories, and he must have known there is God. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Bible says, teach a young man the way that you want him to walk in, and when he grows up, he will not depart from it. Friends, let's bring our children to church when they are young. When they are teenagers, they may do their own thing. But when the Lord speaks to them, he will remind them of that seed which was planted. Each one of us, maybe your mother, maybe your father, maybe somebody who took you to church and you didn't even care. You didn't even know. Maybe they encouraged you to go to Sunday school. The little songs, Mary had a little lamb that they read or sang to you. And that was a seed that was planted. And that seed will not die. It will bear its fruit in due season. And we see Joseph hanging on to that seed, even in prison. How many years has this been? He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have a scripture. There was no fellowship. There was no father's house. There was no church. There was no choir. It's him and the knowledge that he has of God. Friends, young people, those of you going to university, you will need this. Because when I first went to university, or before I actually went to university, people began to tell us of how the university is a graveyard for Christians. Graveyard for Christianity. But the truth is, whether you are there alone, whether nobody else believes, keep that faith, keep that knowledge, keep believing. Joseph kept it in prison, through temptation, through persecution. He kept the knowledge and the faith in the Lord God of glory. Lesson number four. Even when things don't go well, do not lose hope. Friends, one of the easiest things to lose is hope. Is hope. If you've looked for a job for some time, and you've been to interview, and then another interview, and then another interview, and you don't get anything, you can lose hope. If you've been crying to the Lord for healing or deliverance, but every time you go to the doctor, they say the cancer which was in the arm now has gone to the second arm. It was in one leg, now it's in both legs. It's very easy to lose hope. You are dreaming to be a boss. You're being thrown in the pit. Naked. They're removing you from the pit. Now you're being sold as a slave. After being sold as a slave, now you're walking. You go and now you begin to serve. Now you begin to feel good a little bit and a bit more comfortable. Now you've become a prisoner. Your hope can very easily go away. And Joseph found himself in this situation. And brethren, if I can encourage us, let's keep the hope going. Amen. Let's keep that hope that we have. The Bible says this hope does not disappoint. We have a hope that does not disappoint. There is hope that disappoints. Amen? Amen. Many of us know of hope that disappoints, right? Not long ago, we were told hope is on the way. And many people really saw hope coming. And now they're asking, where has that hope gone? Hope that does not disappoint is in the Lord. Hope in the things of this world will disappoint.
Yes, it will.
It was very interesting. Let's read chapter 40, verses 14 through 15.
But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon.
This is Joseph. After he has interpreted a dream for the man whom he said 3 days from now, you'll be reinstated in your job. He says to him, brother, you're free now, but remember me. Read the last part of that chapter. The last verse of that chapter.
Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him.
He did not remember him, but he forgot him. How many of us have been forgotten? And you feel, oh my goodness, I had hope, but I've been forgotten. I was listening to a story the other day. Dr. Jeremiah was teaching. Those of you who know Dr. Jeremiah, David Jeremiah, wonderful teacher of the word. He normally comes on about 10 o'clock to teach on 105.1. So I was listening to him, and he gave an illustration. He talked of a brother who had two children. And one who had to be strapped up in a child's seat. And so he carried that one and put on top of his car. And then he strapped in the one little one inside the car. And then after he finished strapping the one inside the car, he forgot about the one on top of the car, got into the car, started the car, and took off. And when he looks through the mirror, he sees an object falling behind. And then that's when he looks behind and he realizes, and he's on the highway. He realizes, I forgot to bring in my kid. I don't know how the story ended. Don't ask me. But sometimes you feel forgotten. Joseph felt forgotten. But the interesting thing is that he did not lose hope. Even after this man forgot him. And he did not forget him for 2-3 years. By that time, Joseph was 30 years before he was remembered. It was a long time. My next lesson number 5. Let's read verses 14 and 15 again.
But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house, for indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon.
In the midst of suffering lies opportunity. In the midst of suffering lies opportunity. Joseph was suffering. He's in prison. But even in that, he saw opportunity. As his, I'll call them his friends, because now they had lived together and they had become friends. As these men are living, his friends are living, he still saw an opportunity. In the midst of suffering, in the midst of pain, in the midst of whatever you're going through, look at the opportunity in there. There lies an opportunity somewhere. There lies an opportunity somewhere. Can we identify that opportunity? The next lesson that the Holy Spirit laid on my heart is in verses 16 through 18. Let's read that again. 16 through 18.
When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream, and there were 3 white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. So Joseph answered and said, This is the interpretation of it. The 3 baskets are 3 days.
And after 3 days, they will come and take you. Here is a man who thought, oh, my friend has got a good interpretation. I sure will get a good interpretation. And my lesson is, each one of us is uniquely made, uniquely gifted, and differently blessed. Each one of us is uniquely made, uniquely gifted, and differently blessed. just because so and so is blessed this way, is gifted this way, does it this way, gets away with it this way, does not mean I will do it and get away with it that way, or I will be blessed that way. Each one of us is uniquely gifted, uniquely created, and differently blessed. The onus is on us to seek from God what our unique talent, gifting, blessing is. Lord, you created me the way I am. There must be a reason. There must be a reason that you created me the way I am. There is a reason why he created me the way I am, and he didn't create me the way you are created. Amen?
Amen.
And so, Lord, use me with the blessings that you have given me. But let me tell you what oftentimes happens. I am busy trying to become like Pastor Pat.
That's right.
And so I'm constantly disappointing myself, making myself appear like a failure because I'm trying to be what I'm not. I'm trying to copycat. I'm trying to be something else. And because I'm continuously failing, disappointment, and the devil is happy. And he takes away my joy. He takes away my peace. And I don't enjoy being in the presence of the Lord. You know, there was this brother. He didn't have shoes. Some of you take shoes for granted, right? There are people I know in this world that have never put on shoes. Never. Never worn shoes, and they never will. There are many. And here, if you don't have 10 pairs of shoes, you're asking the Lord, what am I doing? Anyway, this brother didn't have shoes. But whenever he went to church, he enjoyed the praise and the worship. And he danced in the church. And he jumped. And whenever the preacher preached, he encouraged the preacher by saying, amen! Hallelujah! Amen! Oh, and there was somebody who didn't quite like that. Thought this guy was too noisy in the church. So he went to him and he said, brother, listen, today, if you don't say amen, hallelujah, in the church, I'll buy you a pair of shoes. Oh, he said, sure. He was so excited that he was going to get a pair of shoes for the first time. So he sat in the church and he listened. And the preacher preached. And he wanted to say amen, but he remembered, I'll miss my shoe. So he kept quiet. And the preacher preached and he kept quiet. Eventually he jumped up and said, shoe or no shoe, hallelujah!
Yeah.
Shoe or no shoe, hallelujah. We are gifted differently.
Amen.
When I get to the presence of the Lord, I will dance. I'll jump. King David jumped, danced, he rolled all over. Because for him, music was just a part of him.
Right.
If, when you started music, the Spirit of God in him just stirred him up. His wife looks and says, oh, wait a moment. Kings don't behave like that. It's not about kings. It's about the gifting in me. It's about the talents that the Lord has given me. It's about the uniqueness of, you know, hallelujah. Some people will be in the presence of the Lord praying and they don't say a word. And they just kneel there silently before the Lord. And you can see that in that quietness, there is a special blessing. And yet some of us If I don't jump around, I don't feel the presence of the Lord. All those are forms of expression. They are outward signs. But inwardly, the Lord is taking the gifts he has given me and using them to glorify his name. And sometimes if the gifts that he has given me are not being used properly in the right places, he will begin to stir me into directions that I may not like. For Joseph to be there trying to interpret his own dreams to his brothers was to look for death. So God had sent him to a prison where he would interpret dreams of the king's servants, because that's where they were more needed. Sometimes the Lord will take us to places where gifts will be better used. And they don't necessarily be where we want to be. My next lesson. Do not rely on the arm of flesh. It will fail you. I don't know how many of us have tried relying on the arm of flesh. Verse 23 says, the man forgot him. He did not remember Joseph. Joseph thought, this guy is going back to the king. As soon as he reaches the presence of the king, he'll mention my name there, right? I don't know how many of us have relied on friends, and friends have let us down. We've relied on parents, and parents have let us down. We've relied on neighbors. We've relied on the things we know. We've relied on our experience. We've relied on knowledge that we've acquired over the years, but that knowledge has gone away. Has laid us down. Do not rely on the arm of flesh. It will surely let you down. It will surely let you down. Psalm 20, or Psalms 20, the 20th Psalm, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, others trust in chariots. Others trust in kings and horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord. For they have fallen, but we shall not fall. Hallelujah. I'll soon finish here. Chapter 40, verse 28 through 32. Let's read that. Chapter 40, verse 28 through 32. Yes.
Okay. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt, but after them 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass.
Yes, chapter 41, verse 28 through 32. Thank you. God is speaking to an Egyptian king, or Pharaoh, who doesn't even know him. He doesn't know him. But God is speaking to him. God spoke to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar did not even know him. He didn't even care. And my lesson here is, God will use whoever he chooses when he chooses to glorify his name and to fulfill his will.
That's the truth. Amen.
The people we sometimes think are the ones God is going to use. Arm of flesh.
Right.
And the people we think, no, God can't use that one. That one? No. God can't use that one. And so, the world today picks preachers they will go to listen to because they believe that one, yes, that one God can use. That one God can't use. But God will use the one he chooses.
That's right.
When he chooses to get his message there. He may be to speak to you. He may be to speak to me. He may be to speak to whoever. God will use whoever he chooses. You could be that person. You could be that person. Are you ready? Should God choose to use you for some difficult things? You know, when you get a picture of Egypt, thinking about Egypt of the time, I think America. Think America. It was a powerful country. It was a great country. It was a strong country. The Bible tells us all countries came to Egypt to survive the famine. And think today where people, if people were needed to survive a famine or a challenge, where they would want to go? America, right? So think Egypt, think America. It was a great country. But this was a king who, despite all that greatness, this Hebrew God, they had their own gods. But God chose to speak to him and to use him. Three more lessons, four more lessons, and I'm done. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Sword drill. Who can shout it out? Jeremiah 1, 12. Shout it out. Everybody knows this one. Everybody knows this one. Sword drill. No, that's 1, 5. Hallelujah. The Lord says to Jeremiah, you have seen well. For yes, I am watching over my word to perform it. And my lesson is, hold on to God's word. God is watching over his word to perform it. You may be in church like on a day like today, and the preacher comes and speaks about something you've been praying about. Take note of that word and hold on to it. Speak it back to the Lord and say, Father, you said this in church on this day. This is my word. Hold on to that word. The Lord is watching that word to perform it. He will perform it. And he will bring it to pass. Because it's his word. He had spoken through Jacob that he was going to bless Jacob. And he was going to bless many nations, many lands, many peoples would be blessed through Jacob. But nations were not going to be blessed through Jacob when Jacob was localized in one place. The Lord pushed Joseph to Egypt to begin blessing the nations through Jacob. My next lesson is a little challenging even to myself. King David prayed a prayer in Psalms 51, verses 10 through 12. And King David prayed for three things, but I'll concentrate on one. Well, he prayed many things, but three things in there that are very, very important. Let's read it. Let's read that prayer. Chapter 51 of Psalms, verses 10 through 12. Turn with me there and let's read that.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me.
Those are four important things that King David prayed for. Number one, to create in me a clean heart, O God. create in me a clean heart. Friends, it is difficult to have a clean heart. In some circumstances, it is very difficult to have a clean heart. If people have hurt you, guess the easiest prayer. Lord, hurt them also. But sometimes the Lord wants you to have a clean heart. So King David prays and says, create in me a clean heart. Number one. Number two, he prays that the Lord will renew his strength internally. And that he will not cast him away from his presence. But finally, he prays. He says, do not take your Holy Spirit. How easy it is for us to assume that we wake up and sleep and the Holy Spirit is always there. We can do whatever we want. The Spirit is always there. He never goes away. He's there. He's there. God has given him God. The gifting of God is without repentance. So we can do whatever we want. The gift of the Spirit of God is there. And there are many people that retain the form without the power. Oh, I know I'll speak in tongues. Harsh and blah, 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 blah. Because I've always spoken in tongues. And so you wake up and you think it is just an act. Joseph speaks to Pharaoh and he says, let's read verse 38 in chapter 40, verse 38. Genesis. We're back to Genesis. Yeah, 41:38.
And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?
Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God dwelling in you, yes. Dwelling in me, dwelling in us. Mm-hmm. It's my prayer, it's my cry. Jesus said, if you who are evil know how to give your children good things, how much more will the Father give the Spirit? But people change it. And they say, if you who know how to give your children good things, how much more will the Father give good things? Jesus said, how much more will the Father give the Spirit to those who ask? How many of us ask for the Spirit of God continuously? Spirit of God, fill me. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. It's a prayer that we hardly pray. People would rather pray, Lord, my mortgage, Lord, my bills, Lord, my money, Lord, my health, Lord, my this. And Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And how we need the Holy Spirit of God at a time such as this. How much we need the Spirit of God. Can we find a man in whom the Spirit of God dwells? I don't know. I'm sure the presidents out there and the kings of this world today, they still ask that question. Can we find a man in whom the Spirit of God dwells? I'm sure every king would benefit from a man in whom the Spirit of God dwells, especially if that man is like Elisha. You remember Elisha, mm-hmm. The king of Samaria? Whenever they came to attack the king of Syria, came to attack the king of Samaria, before they arrived, Elisha would go and tell the king what was going to happen. And the king would always move his troops. And everybody wondered, the king wanted to kill his people. He says, no, but there's a man there called Elisha. He tells the king what happens in your bedroom.
Right.
The Spirit of Spirit of God. Lord, may your Spirit dwell in us. May your Spirit give us wisdom. At a time such as this, we need the Spirit of God dwelling in us, dwelling in our children, dwelling in our spouses. And then my last thought, when God's time is up, all things will fall in place for you. Sometimes things are not happening because it is not yet God's time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says there is a time and a season for everything. But Ecclesiastes chapter 8 says, for everything, there is a time and a procedure. A time. A right time and the right procedure. But, you know, we live in a microwave generation. .com. I want it and I want it now. Lord, if you don't do it now, then you are not Lord. Lord, I need it. If I don't see it today, Lord, but sometimes the Lord says, I'm coming, I'm cooking it. And we want it microwave. Lord, it was supposed to come microwave. The Lord says, I'm grilling it. I'm seasoning it. I'm flavoring it. It will come. Oh no, Lord, if it can't come now, then when the right time comes, things will fall in place and you will be surprised. Joseph must have been stranded in prison. He's given up. This man has forgotten about me now. He probably was there alone, I don't know. In the dungeon, I mean, he calls it a dungeon. Now, this is not a modern day dungeon. This is a dungeon in Egypt where there's no electricity at the time. No air conditioning. Some of us lost our air conditioning on Saturday for just a few hours. But then it was like, Lord, what am I doing here? Right. Somebody was telling me, she works at a restaurant, so she was telling me, everybody decided they were going to eat out that day. But even those who just bought a bottle of Coke, they didn't leave. So they sat around after taking a bottle of Coke. But they will not go away where they enjoy the air conditioning. Where else do you go? What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. I love the old time singing and shouting. I love the old time way. I love the old time singing, shouting, praising, praying. I love the old time way. What a mighty God. Oh, hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him, and what a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Let's just go to God. And we are just going to go to God asking for the Spirit of God. And the Lord to give us the unction to wait in his presence for his timing. And the Lord to increase our hope in him. Let's just pray to God. Just lift your voice and cry to God. Just speak to the Lord. Everybody, just raise your hands, raise your voice, speak to the Lord, and just say, Lord God of glory, just come and minister to us, Father. We need you, Lord God. We need you, Lord God. Father, like Joseph needed you when he was in that dungeon. Like Joseph needed you in that prison. Like Joseph needed you on his journey. Like Joseph needed you at the time when he was feeling discouraged. At the time when he felt so low. Lord, we need you. Lord, we need you. And we cry to you. You promised, Father, that if we who are evil know how to give our children good things, how much will you, Father, give us the Holy Spirit when we pray? Lord, give us the Spirit of God. Give us your Spirit, O Father. Give us your Spirit, O God. The Spirit of wisdom. The Spirit of wisdom. The Spirit of understanding. The Spirit of joy. The Spirit of peace. Give us your Holy Spirit, O Father. Give us your Holy Spirit, O Father. Give us your Holy Spirit, O Father. Let him accompany us, O God, in everything that we do. The Holy Spirit of God. 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 Oh, Father, let your Spirit reign in our lives, O God. Let your Spirit reign in our understanding, O Father. Let your Spirit come and reign in us, O God. Father, Lord God of glory, let your Spirit come and reign in us, O God. Let your Spirit reign in us, O God. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Give us hope. Give us hope in you, Lord God. Give us hope in you, Lord God. Increase our hope in you, Lord God. Increase our hope in you, Lord God. Increase our trust in you, Father. Increase our trust in you, Lord God. Increase our dependence on you, Father. Oh, Jesus, that we will not trust in the arm of flesh, that we will not trust in the hand of man, but we'll trust in the God of glory. We'll trust in the God of glory, the God of Joseph, the God of Joseph, the God who is above all circumstances, the God of all circumstances. We trust in you. We depend on you. We look to you, Lord God. We believe in you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God. There's a conviction in my heart that the Lord is the God of a new beginning. It doesn't matter what has happened before. The Lord is God of a new beginning. Whatever it is, the Lord is God of a new beginning. Let's just call to God. Let's call forth a new beginning. Prophesy a new beginning in your life. Declare a new beginning in your way. Call a new beginning in your path. Father, you are the God of a new beginning. Thank you that you are doing a new thing in our midst, oh Father. You have said, behold, I do a new thing in your midst. Won't you behold it? Father, I call forth a new beginning. I call forth a new beginning. I call forth a new beginning. A new beginning for each one of us. A new beginning in our families. A new beginning among our children. A new beginning among our parents. A new beginning in our places of work. A new beginning in our businesses. I call forth a new beginning in this church. A new beginning, oh my God. A new beginning, a new beginning, a new beginning, a new beginning. A new beginning, oh my Father. Oh, I prophesy a new beginning. I declare a new beginning. I call forth a new beginning in the name of Jesus Christ. A new beginning, O God. A new beginning, O Father. A new beginning, O God. A new beginning, O God. A new beginning, O Father. I declare a new beginning. I call forth a new beginning. We believe in thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
just want to remind us that the scripture says that the Lord does nothing but that he reveals it to his prophets, and that the prophetic spirit comes from God. So when Moses said, prophesy a new beginning, prophesy over yourself a new beginning, what I'm saying is that that very statement came from God, who was saying, I declare a new beginning. You can prophesy it because I've determined it. The reason why you can prophesy is because I've already initiated a new beginning. So when you prophesy, you're simply saying what I've already said. So we say yes and amen to that word, Lord. We say yes that you've already decreed a new beginning. Lord, that the past is behind. We rejoice in your presence, Lord, in our present, and we trust you with our future. We thank you, O God, for a new day. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen, amen, and amen. God bless you real good. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus.